Well, let me just pray and commit our time to the Lord in the Word now. Father, we do want to thank you that we have your Word. And we thank you that it's a living Word when the Spirit of God takes a hold of it. And we do ask for that this morning, that our hearts would be open to all that you have to say to us. And we do pray for that anointing on both speakers and listeners. We ask that you'll be gracious to us this morning and impart something of your mind to our hearts, we pray. But we do thank you for your Word, and we ask now that you would be with us. Amen.
Amen.
Well, just a few verses from Hosea 4, and then we're going to look at a verse in Colossians. But I'd ask you to keep your finger in Hosea, because most of what we're going to be looking at is from the book of Hosea this morning. Let's read just the first six verses, I think, of Hosea chapter 4. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there's no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof. For your people are like those who contend with the priest. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night. And I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the Lord of your God, I also will forget your children. And then to Colossians chapter 1, please. And we'll just read verse 9 to 12, I think. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attainment of all steadfastness and patience. And it was really that verse 10 I wanted to look at, along with the passage in Hosea. Really, if there's a title for this morning's talk, it is the loss of the knowledge of God, or the lack of the knowledge of God. Because we're living in a day when I think we probably agree there's such a loss and a lack of that knowledge of God. I'm talking about in the church now, not outside the church, because they can't be expected to have a knowledge of God. But in the body of Christ, God wants there to be a knowledge of himself. Now that word knowledge obviously is not just an academic understanding. There's plenty with an academic understanding of who God is. But is there a heart grasp? Is there a spiritual understanding of who God is? Do we know God in our experience? That's what God is wanting. And it's tragic to think that as we looked in that passage in Hosea, that there was a people of God who God had done everything he could to make himself known to his people, and yet there was a rejection of that. Now, it's marvellous, isn't it? We have a God who wants to be known. That's the amazing thing this morning. We're not in a religion where we have a God who can't be known because they're not alive. We have a living God. A God who desires intimacy. A God who desires to be known. A God who desires to be alongside his people, to be with his people. That's the God that we have. And, we have no excuses in a sense. God has done everything he can do for us to know him. And I want just to look at one or two things in a second about the consequences of not knowing, or why we need to know God. I want to look at it from a positive and negative angle, really. The benefits we attain to or get if we are seeking to know God, and the things we lose when we are lacking in the knowledge of God. But it's fair to say, I think, that in our day there's been a drastic loss in the knowledge of God amongst his people. To such an extent that people attribute things to God that you'd never ever before attribute to him. And when things are attributed to God, just take the case of this counsellor recently that said the floods were judgment from God because of gay marriage. And he was slapped down immediately, but particularly by church leaders, because they have no grasp of who God is, no understanding and knowledge of God. And I could go on. There's various things I've just come across recently of literature that people are really holding fast to that really are not godly writing. They are books that are, if anything, New Age writings. And yet these are bestsellers amongst Christians. and leading us to a false knowledge of anything else of God. I want to just emphasize that word in Colossians. Well, it's a very interesting word in Colossians 1 when it talks of knowledge. My version has a little one by the side, and in the center of the Bible it says it's a true knowledge of God, and that word actually literally means a precise and an accurate knowledge of God. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to know him precisely. He wants us to know him accurately. He doesn't want us to have an imprecise understanding or a vague understanding of who he is. He wants us to know who he is and how he intervenes in lives and what he wants to do in our lives. Not some vague understanding, some wishy-washy understanding or knowledge of who God is. And that word appears several times in the New Testament. Not every time you read the word knowledge will you see this word, but several times you'll come across it where God is looking for a precise and an accurate knowledge of himself. And so he desires that. And he desires that us, you and I, press on in this. He doesn't want us to stand still. He wants us to move on with him, in knowing him, in coming to an ever greater depth of knowledge of who he is. So the precision of our knowledge is increasing. The accuracy of our knowledge is increasing. So that we're knowing him for who he really is. Now, I don't want to go perhaps too much into how that happens, but I'll mention that at the end, because I think I've spoken on this before. But I will say one or two things at the end regarding that. But I really want to look at some of the reasons why we must press on in this. We must make it a priority, individually and corporately, as a church of God. We must make it our priority in knowing him, and understand that precise understanding, that accurate understanding of who he is. And I've just listed several things here that I come across. In Hosea mainly, but we'll look at one or two New Testament verses just to back that up as well. So back to Hosea chapter 4, please. I'm not going to do this in sort of chronological order. I'm going to do this in sort of a ad hoc fashion. But I'm going to look at verse 2 first of all. Immediately it says there's no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception. There's a list of godless behavior. And one of the things you find is when we lose the knowledge of God, there increasingly occurs godless behaviour. A setting aside God's demands and commands. And we're seeing that, sadly, not only in the nation, but in the church as well. Now, what's the root of that, of course? Well, it's the knowledge of God. But what does the knowledge of God lead to? It leads to a fear of God. You cannot reverence and fear the God you don't know. And so at the heart of fearing God is the knowledge of him. And for you and I as believers, what I do think and what I do believe is that as we press on to know him more, what we'll find is that there'll be an increasing reverence for him. That always marks out a group of believers who really are knowing their God, and in a right way, in an accurate way. There will be an increased reverence, an increased fear of God that will lead to godly behavior. And isn't that what God wants from his people? Not the opposite. There's a loss of knowledge and a lack of the fear of God, and then comes in all the godless behavior that we read of here and elsewhere as well. But tied in with that is a verse in 1 Corinthians 15, just for you to be aware that this isn't only an Old Testament problem, a problem that Israel had, it's a problem that the church has today, and it had then back in New Testament times. I want to read a verse from 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 34, you can either listen or you can turn to it, but keep your finger in Hosea, please. Become sober-minded as you ought and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. Some have no knowledge of God. Is that talking to the people outside of the church? I don't believe it is. I believe this is addressed to the church at Corinth, where there was a loss of the knowledge of God, or a lack at least of the knowledge of God. And what we see there is Paul warning them, become sober-minded, because one of the things you find is that as you get to know God more, you will become seriously minded in certain things. Not to become a killjoy, but you become sober in thought and action, in certainly regarding sin. And we see here this is tied in with the church which were commanded to stop sinning. Become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. See, the knowledge of God is tied in with our behaviour. We will behave correctly when we know God correctly. When we have a vague and wishy-washy understanding of God, other things will direct our behaviour. And quite often that will be contrary to the word of God. Back to Hosea, Hosea chapter 4, verse 3 this time. Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes. Bearing in mind, this is following on from that verse 1. Everyone who lives in it languishes. That word means really a weakening, a drooping, exhausting. But particularly that growing weak and growing feeble. And if anything marks out the church today more than this, I wouldn't say there's anything, but church is feeble. More than any other time, I would say, we are a feeble people. Our word counts for nothing so often because it's not backed up by our lives and an authority. We don't speak with authority. And if anything marks the church, it's this languishing. That stems from the lack of the knowledge of God. Because we're not in right relationship with Him, we don't know Him, therefore there is a weakening, an increased weakening. And again, turn to 2 Peter 1, or just listen to this, because this is again borne out in the New Testament. Because our provision from God comes through the knowledge of God. If you're not living in relationship with Him, you cannot receive from Him. You won't be able to receive His provision and His power and His enabling. That comes through the knowledge of God. And that is borne out in 2 Peter 1. Where it says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then in verse 4, for by these He has granted us to His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. I've missed the verse there, sorry. Oh, verse 3, sorry. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge, is that word again, that true knowledge, that precise knowledge of God, that exact knowledge of God, of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. So there's a sense, friends, that we become weak when we are lacking in the knowledge of God. There is a lack in the provision that we can attain, that we can receive from God. And we see that here in Hosea, where the people were languishing because they've refused and neglected the knowledge of God and lost that knowledge of God. Hosea 4 verse 1, back to that chapter there. What is very concerning here, it says there in verse 1, for the Lord has a case against the land, or against the inhabitants of the land. And that word, a case, means a quarrel or a controversy. And in a sense, when we deliberately neglect the knowledge of God, when we push that aside, then God has a controversy. We're in a quarrel with Him. And there can only be one winner there. And as we read, if you go on and read the verses in Revelation, of course, we see that God removed the lampstand. God isn't going to put up with a body of believers or an individual who refuses to go His way. We need to be so careful, friends, that we don't get into a controversy with the Lord, don't we? Far from that. God wants us to be in right relationship with Him, growing in the knowledge of God, where He is delighted with us. And God delights in the knowledge of God. He delights in it. We read of that in the Old Testament as well. Hosea 8 and verse 8, just moving on a couple of verses again. This is the same context in the sense it's the same people. But one of the other things that we find happening when the knowledge of God is lost or is lacking is that it says in verse 8 of chapter 8, Israel is swallowed up. They are now among the nations. How tragic that was. When God wanted a separate people, the people were swallowed up by the nations because they refused to go God's way. And that, by and large, is happening around us today in the church. We are seeing a church that's being swallowed up by the world, swallowed up by the nation. And it's so difficult to resist that. In fact, I would say, unless you are really pressing on in relationship with the Lord, you are likely to succumb, to be drawn in, to be swallowed up by the world, to be no different to anybody else. And how tragic it is when we become like that. And we're all in danger in a sense, but the pull of the world is so strong, isn't it? It is so strong. And it's so easy to be swallowed up by that. And unless we are in that relationship with the Lord, unless we are pressing on to know Him in that right way, then we will be swallowed up. And we'll become as the nation. We are among the nations. There was no difference between Israel and the nation. Where God had wanted a people that would be different, and would be a testimony to who he was and who he is. He didn't have it. How tragic that is. And it's the same for us today, friends. God has the same intentions for you and I, same intentions for the church, that he'd have a people who will be different, who will be separate, who will be separated unto him. And that comes out of a relationship, out of a knowledge of God. If we're not living in that way where we're seeking to know him, that's our priority, then what will happen is other things will come in and we'll be drawn away and we'll be swallowed up by other things, but particularly by the world, the things that really have such a force in our day, that spirit of the age. So friends, let's not be a people that are indistinguishable from the world. We want to be different. And the only way that's going to happen is if we are walking in relationship with him and seeking to press on in that, to know him more. Well, another thing that sort of comes out of this is that when we are knowing him as we ought, then we will know his heart and his mind. We will know something of his purposes, something of his ways. And of course, Israel had lost that. God was wanting them to live in certain ways, to do certain things, to be a people that he could use. And yet they had lost that because they'd lost the knowledge of God. They weren't living in that right place with him. And the same thing can happen to us, friends. We need to be living in that relationship with him in such a way that we know what's on his heart. We know what his plans and purposes are. But when we're not seeking to walk and increase in the knowledge of God, then we will lose that as well. Hosea 5 verse 6. They will go with their flocks and herds to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn from them. And tragically, one of the things that happens when we have lost the knowledge of God is that God withdraws. There's only one way to go, and that's into exile. And if I'll read a verse from you as well that ties in with this from Isaiah. Let me just read Isaiah chapter 5 verse 13. Going the wrong way, to the left. Therefore, my people, go into exile for their lack of knowledge. Primarily, the lack of the knowledge of God. But to tie in with that, of course, is when we lack the knowledge of God, we lack the knowledge of his ways, his purposes, his intentions, what he desires for us. We will not know those things if we don't know the Lord. And people went into exile. There's only one direction we go when we don't know the Lord, when we don't have a knowledge of God, when we're lacking in this and not seeking to press on in this. And that's away from the Lord. Because there's so many things that will pull us in the opposite direction. And tragically, we read up here in 5 verse 6 that God had withdrawn. How tragic that is when God has to withdraw from his people. Because of the things that had come in, because of their lack of the knowledge of God, the sin that had come in, their rejection of his word. All these things that caused God to withdraw. And it was no good coming to them in a sense, them coming to God with their flocks and their herds. They could offer as many sacrifices as they wanted. God was not going to come back unless there was repentance, true heart change. And that's always the case, isn't it, friend? God hasn't changed. His ways of doing things are the same. Unless there is repentance, then we cannot come back into that right relationship with him. And finally, Daniel 11 and verse 32. Again, the context here are the end times. Interesting in that word this morning that the Lord brought through Simon of the warning of difficult times ahead. I think we probably all in agreement. They're not easy. They're not going to be easy times ahead. We're going to land under judgment and in the end times. And I think we can see increasingly difficult days ahead. But the wonderful thing is here, this is a marvellous verse, isn't it? In verse 32. By smooth words he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly towards the covenant. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. Friends, it's vital in these days we know him. We know him precisely. We know him accurately. We don't have a vague knowledge that's been passed on to us by somebody else. But we know him for ourselves. Where he has made himself known and revealed himself to us. If you're a child that belongs to a godly family, you need to know him for yourself. It's no good resting upon your parents or your grandparents. You need to know him for yourself. There's no other way to be strong in the Lord. And as it says, you're to display strength and take action than to have that knowledge personal for yourself. You can't rely on anybody else. You can't rely on anybody but the Lord. And it's he who reveals himself. It's he who gives that revelation. And we can see here, friends, there's a by smooth words, there's such flattery around, such deception around. And increasingly that's going to be the case. The scriptures warn us of this. How are we going to stand against that? How are we going to stand against such deception? It's only by knowing the Lord. Because then we'll be able to display strength and take the necessary action to combat such deception. To see through it, to recognize it for what it is. And tragically, the biggest problem is we don't see it for what it is. Because when we don't have a knowledge of God, we lack all discernment. And then we then start reading things. I mean, the book I'm thinking of is Jesus Calling. I mean, have you ever come across that? It's very big, apparently. I've never come across it in Christian circles. It's in most Christian bookshops, but it's a New Age book. It really is a woman receiving lots of revelation from Jesus, but really it revises scripture. With Jesus in it, uses flattery. This is not the Jesus I know or you know. And I just warn you, stay clear of the book. But it is a huge bestseller, apparently, in America, but also in this country now as well. But friends, how can we see through such things? We'll only see through things if we are living in relationship with him and knowing him. Because in knowing him, he will make his mind known to us. He will show us these things that we need to see. We will have something inside of us saying, this is not my Jesus. I'll know it because I know him. When someone tries to tell me that this is Jesus and I know something different from the scriptures, what I'm saying, I will know it. But you see, friends, if we're not making this a priority of knowing him, then we'll easily be deceived by smooth words. And there are lots of smooth words about, aren't they? They can be so plausible and so credible. And yet, friends, we can see through them if we know him. If we are seeking to know him and making that a priority, we need not be deceived in a day of terrible deception. We can see through this. And we can display strength and take action. Isn't that marvellous that we don't have to be those that are weak and languishing, not able to display any strength, can't take any action, and just fall by the wayside because the days are dark and getting darker. We don't have to be in that category. Praise God, we can be a people that take strength, that display strength and take action. If we are knowing him, friends. If we are knowing him. So I put that question out to you this morning. What's your relationship like with the Lord Jesus? Are you knowing him increasingly? Is it your desire to increase in the knowledge of God? Or are you content with where you are? You see, our heart should really be to want to know him more and more. The more we see of him, the more we know of him, the more we should want to know of him. Because he's so wonderful and so marvellous. So I put that question up, that challenge up to each one of us, to my own heart as well. Don't be content with where you are. Let's seek to move on in this knowledge of God. To increasingly know him in everyday experiences, in everyday life, in everything, our families, our work. And to see more of his character. To know him in this way. Let's don't settle for a vague knowledge of him, which has been passed on to us from somebody else. Let's set our hearts on knowing him for ourselves, friends. And because if we don't do that, you won't know him precisely and accurately. I can absolutely guarantee that. It won't come second hand. You'll get something, maybe, but it'll be imbalanced. And that's another thing to be careful of. Because if we're taking something from just one quarter, or one person, or a preacher, or our favourite preacher, what you'll find is you'll get an imbalance in the knowledge. Because one thing will be stressed by one, and if you're just looking at that one, you only get the one. And you'll have a dreadful imbalance in your knowledge of God. Your idea of God will be skewed. So friends, you need to come to the Lord yourself. You need to be in the Word yourself. It's then that God can impart just what you need to know about him. He will say, yes, you need to know I'm like this. And he will show us this. He will give revelation. And we will know what we need to know, friends. If we're relying upon second-hand knowledge, as much as some of it might be very good, I'm not knocking that, of course, fully, but we can't depend only on that. If you're depending only on a Sunday sermon, you're not going to get to know the Lord. Your knowledge of him will be vague. It will be imprecise. And you'll be in danger of being swallowed up by other things. Our knowledge of him needs to be precise. It needs to be first-hand. That's where we need to set our hearts, on knowing him first-hand, not relying on anything or anybody else. Yes, using what other people tell us and what we hear from the front and from other things, but primarily first-hand knowledge is what we need. It's the only thing that will lead us to that place where we can count ourselves amongst those in Daniel 11, where we display strength and take action in the days ahead. There's no other way. So friends, let's be a people that really set our hearts on that. I just want to look at now, just in closing the last 5-10 minutes, really, of the cure, if you like, of a lack of knowledge of God, or the cause of the lack of knowledge of God, because they're tied in together, really. And the first thing, really, I want to read from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, but this is tied in. I could turn to 3 or 4 different passages here, but we'll just read this. This is Paul writing, I determine to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul's prime goal was to know Christ. Everything else came out of that. Read Philippians 3. Everything else he counted as loss compared to knowing Christ. It was rubbish, rather, compared to knowing Christ. He'd lost everything, he says. And everything he counted as rubbish compared to knowing his Saviour. Friends, that's the heart attitude we need. If we have such an attitude of heart, then we're in a good place this morning. We will get to know him. He will want to show himself to us. This will be the heart of God toward us. He'll want to show us because our heart are toward him. So friends, can I ask you and myself this morning, our hearts in this place where we want to know him more than anything else. Is that our heart's desire? That our prime reason for living, if you like, to know Christ, and then to know his power, and the power of his resurrection. He goes on to say in that passage later on. But that's what we can know. And tied in with that, Jeremiah 29, I won't turn to that, but it says, when God speaks to his people Israel, you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all of your heart, you will find me. Nothing changes, friends. Yes, we're the new covenant people, but with the people of God grafted into Israel. And the same thing applies to you. If we're not going to seek God with all our hearts, we're not going to find him. We're not going to know him. That has to be our first and prime goal and desire. And I want to ask you and myself that question. Is it, friends, this morning? If it's not, then repent of that. Turn around from that. And ask God to make it your first desire. Because we're living in days where it has to be. If it's not, we are in real danger. So friends, let's make sure our heart's in the right place first. Because if the heart's not in the right place, you could do as much Bible study as you want. It's not going to do you much good. Our hearts need to be in the right place. We need to want to know him and set our hearts on that. So that's the first thing. Second thing, well, the reason why Israel had lost the knowledge of God is because it says in Isaiah chapter 4, implies this, that they had rejected the Lord of the Lord. They had turned aside from God's law. It's God's word, what God had told them. Always the case, friends, down through the ages, down through church history. The moment we turn away from the law, the word of God, and reject it or neglect it even, then we'll find that we will lose the knowledge of God. So what's the way to the knowledge of God? It's obviously then to get into God's word with a right heart, wanting to know him. See, God is the past master of revealing things to us. He knows how to reveal himself to us. And it is only by revelation that we will know him correctly, precisely, have a true knowledge. It won't come any other how. God needs to reveal himself to us. And that's the beauty, if you like, of Christianity. It doesn't matter that you're not the most academic person in Guildford or the most wealthy person in Guildford. You could be the bottom of the pile in both of those groups. It does not matter a jot. Because if your heart is right, God can reveal himself to you. That is the wonder of Christianity. There's nothing else to compare with it. If you're born into some religions and you're at the bottom of the pile, it's there you will stay. But with Christ, he can lift you up into heavenly places and seat you with himself, no matter what position or status you might have in this life. Isn't that marvellous? That is the God we serve, friends. That's the God that we worship. And this is the God who wants to reveal himself to us. Increasingly. I trust that you're sitting there this morning and you know something of his revelation. You know something of who he is. I'm sure you do. But press on to know him more. Because God wants to reveal more of himself. And you'll never plumb the depths. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. There are no depths, or there are no end to the depth, bottom to the depths. Well, that's the right words, but you know what I mean. You'll never plumb the depths of these things, because the depths of the riches are so great. And he has so much to show us, doesn't he? You might live to 110, and every day of your life set your heart on knowing him, and you still will just have touched on who God is, because there is such depth to him. Well, friend, may we do that. May we get into his word so that he can show us who he is. And just one final thing from 2 Corinthians 5. It's the one about our, oh, there we are, it's chapter 10, it's a multiple of 5. Here. And we'll read from verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Excuse me. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Friends, there's so many things raised up this day against the knowledge of God, aren't there? So many lofty things, imaginations, speculations. We see it. Evolution is one. You know, it's a fantasy world, really. If you ever looked into it, it's absolute nonsense. And yet, there's something holding in place. There's something holding in place. Raised up against the knowledge of God. It's a huge obstacle to many coming to the knowledge of God. And yet, the wonderful thing it says here, we are destroying speculations. Isn't that marvellous? That you and I can work together with God to destroy speculations with the weapons that he gives us in prayer, in intercession and warfare. That's where we're to be as a people, so that we are praying in such a way that these things are pulled down, that people can come to a knowledge of himself and then go on growing in that knowledge. But there are many things raised up against the knowledge of God, and I've just mentioned one, but there are many other things as well. I'm sure you could think of lots of things raised up that are barriers to the knowledge of God, even in a Christian's life. Yes, even in a Christian's life. Think of replacement theology. That's another speculation. Nothing to do with Scripture. And yet it's been raised up, and it's a real barrier to many people moving on with God, knowing him for who he really is. They can't really know the God of Israel because they've got this nonsense in their heads and their hearts about replacement theology. It is a speculation. It's imagination. It's a vain thing. It's nothing to do with the Word of God. And yet it is something that is raised up against the knowledge of God. And it prevents believers moving on and knowing him more. And friends, the wonderful thing is we can pray against these things. We can work with God to the pulling down of these things. We haven't got to stand by and be held hostage by them. Isn't that wonderful? We can work with God to the pulling down of these things. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be easy. These things are well and firmly rooted and established in our land, in the minds of so many. It's not easy. And yet God gives grace. He can give little victories here, little victories there, in individual believers, praying for one, praying for twos. You know, we're not going to see the whole of the nation coming and saying evolution is rubbish, even though it is. But we can pray for this one and that one, can't we? That the Lord will deal with those barriers and those speculations. And that they'll be pulled down from that one, and the enemy will be dealt with. And from that, God reveals himself. Out of that, isn't it marvellous that we can work with God for this? So friends, may we set our hearts to do that as well, not only for ourselves but for others around us, of course, as we pray as an assembly, as we move on. We've been talking about praying for our children recently. So many things raised up against the knowledge of God for our children, to stop them coming to that knowledge of God. Lofty things, vain things, imaginations, and yet God is leading us in prayer for our children, that the Lord really would deal with the enemy and deal with them, of course, and bring them to that knowledge of God. And it will be a battle. There are battles ahead, friends, tremendous battles ahead. I'm absolutely sure of that. But we have a God who's big enough for any battle. All he wants for you and I is to work with him. And if we will set our hearts to work with him, he will give victories. He will give triumphs. He will bring people to the knowledge of himself. He will take us on in the knowledge of himself. This is the God that we have. This is his desire. This is what he delights in. And that's why I believe he's been alerting us to these things, so that we can work with him for him to do what he wants to do. Well, may we do that. May we put our hands in his and work with him. Well, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning that you're a God who can be known. And we want to thank you as well that through the scriptures and the revelation of the Holy Spirit, we can have an exact or a precise and an accurate knowledge of who you are. We don't need to have a vague understanding, a vague wishy-washy idea of who you are. We can know you for ourselves. And Lord, we want to cry to you this morning that you have put upon our hearts the desire to know you firstly in everything, that you would be our prime goal and desire in this life, to know you. Father, help us. And if it's not, Father, would you grant us repentance? Amen. Would you grant repentance to anyone this morning that has not made you first in their lives? Oh, Father, help us to do that, that we might be those who are counted amongst those in Daniel who have displayed strength and taken action. Lord, we want to be a group of people who take action in this day. We want to be a group of people who display strength in this day. And therefore, Father, lead us on, we pray. Increasingly, would you reveal yourself to us, that we might have that right and true knowledge of yourself. Help us in this, we pray. Amen. Amen.